Edge with Chris Graham.
Welcome to the podcast, Chris Graham and Rod Bowens. We're going to talk some NASCAR as we recap Texas. We get ready for Phoenix. We're looking ahead a couple weeks down the road to, actually not a couple weeks, a week and a half down the road to Homestead. We'll also talk some Roger Penske news here on this podcast. But first, let's go back to Texas. Jeremy Harvick punches his ticket to Homestead. He gets the win. Some other news around who's still in the mix here for Homestead, that final race, the championship four. So, Rod, take us to Texas and break down what happened on the track.
Well, basically what happened on the track was a lot of good luck for Kevin Harvick. Mark Truex Jr. held around there in the mix there for a while. But, you know, the bad thing that happened was, you know, I kind of mentioned this, I think, last week when I was talking a little bit about it, and that was the fact of Chase Elliott had to win to at least lock a position into the chase, at least for the final four positions coming up. And he has something go wrong. He hits the wall and pretty much does his day, finishes it up for the race. And so he's not even a contender. He's right now barely hanging on there out of that top eight contenders there of being able to possibly make this chase. But what he's got to do, again, he's forced into another situation where his back is against the wall, and he's going to have to win this week as well. So you got Joey Logano in there, too. Joey Logano is in this mix also, but he and Kyle Busch are fighting for position. They need a win, too, to get into this. So you have two assured spots in there. Those two spots are Mark Truex Jr. and also Kevin Harvick. So you've got both of those right now. And now the situation is, who are going to be the other two spots that are going to fill up? And we'll have that determined this week coming up with the race at Phoenix. And then, of course, if that last spot will be decided by points also. And when that's decided, we'll find out where the situation is going to be going into Homestead.
Yeah, why did I say Jeremy Harvick, Kevin Harvick? Is it a situation where if you're one of those contenders, you win and you're in, and of course, if someone else outside of that wins, then we're playing for positioning at that stage. But what is the situation from that standpoint in terms of the race this weekend?
Well, the big thing right now for these racers is, yeah, they've got to be in to win at least. These guys have to, like Chase Elliott, the Joey Logano's, the Kyle Busch, they've got to at least get a spot in there to where they can come up with a win this coming weekend. For the other guys, if somebody else comes up and wins the race, for example, and comes up out of nowhere, it will mostly be decided by someone that's going to be able to be in on points is what it's going to be. And so if Joey Logano, Kyle Busch finish pretty straight even down the line and stuff, they'll be the next ones that go in, and then that just eliminates everybody else down the line from that point on. So, you know, it's one of those things that somebody that is another driver could come up and be a spoiler and maybe knock somebody out of contention before it's over with, and then they'll award those points. Depending on how Kyle Busch and also some of the other drivers perform on Sunday, that'll be decided where they're going to land in the final standing.
So that'll make for some interesting racing, certainly the whole race long, but that last hour, then the last half hour, then the last few minutes, we'll see the stats up on the score, up on the TV as NBC updates things to let us know where everybody stands. That'll make for some fun racing, no doubt. So that should be some fun this weekend. Now we'll talk about Phoenix as we wrap up our podcast today. But we got some news in between here we got to get into. Getting away from NASCAR, we're going to go to IndyCar and talk Roger Penske buying IndyCar, the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, associated properties therein. What does this mean? What's next? I've seen some stories about some plans that Penske has, the Penske Corporation has for their new properties here. But what's the latest on this, Rod?
Well, as for price tags, no one really knows right now. It's very undisclosed about what they're talking about and what the price was decided on this purchase of the IndyCar series and also for the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. But Roger Penske was talking in an interview the other day with Adam Alexander and a couple of other the talking heads that's on TV, Kyle Busch and also Kyle Petty. He was talking about the fact that he wants to preserve and keep NASCAR at the Brickyard. And he says, you know, it's been there for 20-some-odd years. He wants to keep it another 20-some-odd years there because he says it has a place of being in. And there at the Brickyard more than anything else. It's proven itself over the years. As for the way that the status is for Indianapolis, I think we know he's going to try to keep the Speedway. He's going to keep the Speedway going, keep the tradition going out of it. But what he wants to do more than anything else, I think, is get a hold of IndyCar and then quite possibly see if there might be a different way he can market the IndyCar series. And the talk is, of course, of putting the IndyCar series and maybe NASCAR on a dual weekend, or having the IndyCar run on Saturday and then maybe having the NASCAR series run on Sunday, or vice versa, and being a big draw to some of the tracks. Now, that would be very advantageous for the Speedway Motorsports properties, because you would have Charlotte, you'd have Texas, you'd have some of those tracks that they've had before, and they have ran at those tracks. And so that's a kind of a positive there. Now, what's unknown is, where will they land within the International Speedway Corporation, the ISC, and that's the people that own NASCAR and have at least a stake in NASCAR. Where will the IndyCar series be? Because Roger Penske is kind of like this ambassador. He's, you know, he comes in, he's very quiet. You know, he's an overall nice guy, but he means business when he gets down to it, because when you're talking about money, especially in the millions and quite possibly the billions of dollars in some of the endeavors he's been involved in, he really sets out to have success. And so he's going to try to do that, and I believe that he could possibly pull something off, and he could possibly pull off a big doubleheader weekend, maybe with the IndyCar series and NASCAR, sort of like bridging the gap, so to speak. So we got to remember about this. This is a guy that won the Presidential Medal of Freedom, or it was awarded to him here a couple of weeks ago. He got that award, the Presidential Medal of Freedom. This is a guy that also at one point was one of the top contenders to get a hold of the Saturn car group, at least out of General Motors, when General Motors was just diversifying themselves out of everything else and getting out of Oldsmobile, getting out of Pontiac, and then wanted to get rid of Saturn. Penske was ready to purchase Saturn, and then GM withdrew the offer, or at least the offer to put it for sale. And Penske was kind of jilted there at the altar out of it. And if he had done that, he had intended to produce more sports cars and something that was more, I guess, more favorited toward the fact of automobile racing and motorsports more so than anything else. I believe that possibly could have seen another car come into the NASCAR circuit, but GM kind of prevented that from happening. So, you know, he's got some big ideas. He's very level-headed on stuff. It could mean nothing more than growth for the IndyCar series, and also maybe some increased crowds also to NASCAR races, because they were talking about it this past weekend in Texas, and they were very disappointed with the group or the numbers that had been on hand for that race. They were talking about it, and so there's at least a chance that he might be able to jumpstart and get this thing going in the right direction.
You know, what's interesting, you think of Penske, you think of the racing part of the Penske operation. But yeah, I was reading about this purchase. He's thinking about things like bringing a Formula One race perhaps to Indy Speedway, a 24-hour race. And also, he said he's looking at the 1,000 acres around the track and saying, why can't we just not just have this a racing capital of the world, but let's make this an entertainment capital as well. And so really smart, because, you know, for race fans, whether you're a NASCAR fan, an IndyCar fan, Formula One fan, I guess, too, you look at Indianapolis Motor Speedway and say, wow, that's one of the meccas of racing. And so why not build some stuff up around it, make some more money that way, and make it something really for race fans to really have a great time at, no matter what you're there for. And then the idea is, again, yeah, of bringing a Formula One race, a 24-hour race, have a NASCAR IndyCar weekend. These are all great ideas, and I think really exciting news for race fans.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the kicker, I think, to me, that really stands out. Penske has been affiliated with ISC before, and of course he was partners with them in Michigan, and of course he owns the Michigan Speedway. He was also a partner in with them at Homestead down in Florida, where the race, all the racing season is going to end this year. He kind of got out of that, and of course ISC has taken over a majority ownership in that track. But, you know, we still are kind of in the dark right now. I know there's a lot of shuffling and different things going on with NASCAR, but what could be, you know, I guess on the horizon, so to speak, what if Penske is determining how IndyCar is going to be run, and then as a part of this Penske Entertainment Group, he makes a move at least for a controlling part of NASCAR before it's over with, and at least tries to make a jump at that on the France family. The France family has maybe been talking about getting themselves out of the sport a little bit more, and who better than to turn it over to than Roger Penske and his organization, which I think could run it really well. This might be a test run to see how well things go together for Penske, especially with the IndyCar series, and it might determine if NASCAR might come under that umbrella before it's over with.
Yeah, for folks out there listening wondering, how can he do this? What kind of, you know, he's worth, according to the Indianapolis Star, I was reading a piece there, he's worth $1.6 billion, and his Penske group is worth $32 billion. There's money there, so he can make these kind of things happen. Be interesting to see how this all plays out. Last thing here on the podcast, we'll go back to NASCAR, and we'll talk about Phoenix. And so this is the last race before Homestead, and we're jockeying for position to see who gets the last couple of spots in. Rod, what can we look forward to this weekend?
Well, you know, one big thing that's sticking out with me right now about Phoenix and what's going to happen is, I don't know if you've read a little bit about it, but the intentional spins or the intentional spin-outs or something that's been happening in NASCAR. I know that there was a couple of complaints about it a couple of weeks ago and saying that, you know, Joey Logano did that, and then there was a claim from this past weekend. Joey Logano claimed that Bubba Wallace spun out on purpose. Now, Bubba Wallace doesn't have a stake in this whole thing. He's not, you know, trying to race and trying to get into the chase himself, but, you know, that could possibly happen, and if it did, Joey Logano could be taken up in the wreck. So some of these drivers are starting to cry foul over how NASCAR, you know, where it's saying, well, you know, it's a judgment call, so to speak. And yeah, that could be right. It's a judgment call about if someone spins out or not. But the big problem right now is proving that. How are you going to prove that a driver intentionally did that unless they have some way of monitoring the telemetry on the cars? Phoenix is going to be one of those tracks of where we could see some of these spins a lot more than usual, because Phoenix is one of those tracks that, it's sort of like a Martinsville, so to speak, but it's, I don't know, stretched out maybe just a little bit more. But the territory that you have to fight for in order to hold down your position on the track, it's going to be pivotal for them. Now, you see, here's another big thing that happened this past week. The traction compound that they use at Bristol and the traction compound that they use at Texas Motor Speedway, well, it didn't work as well this past weekend as they had hoped it would. They were hoping that there would be a higher groove established by some of the drivers. Kyle Larson, for example, loves the high side, and he was able to work some of that and work some of his magic, but he still was not able to get to the front. There will be no traction compound at ISC in Phoenix because this is an International Speedway Corporation track, and then, of course, last week was a Speedway Motorsports track. So we're going to see some gritty racing probably on Sunday that will determine who's going to get those final two spots and get into the playoffs. And also, who could be the spoiler out of it? There could be a lot of spins. There could be a lot of hits, but especially like what you said here earlier, it could be maybe 30, 50 laps left to go in the race, and we may see an all-out barrage by some of these drivers to see what they can do. And it might very well turn into a demolition derby almost. And we hate to see that because I want to see some bumping. I want to see some, you know, side-by-side racing and everything. I don't want to see a bunch of cars knocked out of it. I just want to see these guys race and race hard to try to get a position to where they can come up with at least those final two spots and make it into that final four before they get into Homestead.
Yeah, you've got two spots open. You've got people who are going to be working to get those spots. Should be fun to watch. So, well, Rod, thank you for your time. We'll get you back on next week. We'll recap and get ready for Homestead.
All right. Appreciate it, Chris. Thanks.